It is good to be back with you. If you were here last week, I was not. I won't get into too much of it, but the plan last week, Hunter and I and Mr. Rocky and Mr. Nate are going to take a little father-son trip and have a relaxing little trip down the Mulberry River in Arkansas. It sounds nice and friendly, doesn't it? The Mulberry, just kind of go along, but let's just say it was the absolute worst day of my life. To quote some poet, I forget who said it was the best of times and it was the absolute worst of times. We flipped our canoe about a dozen times. We being me and Hunter, Rocky and Nate were the expert canoers. And so we're just left just at one point it was like, give me Jesus and my son and I'm out of here, okay? You can have the canoe back. You can have the oars. I just want to walk to the road and quit. But we survived and we had made some memories for sure. Some that I wish we could forget, but we're back. Every time I'm gone, I obviously miss our church family, miss preaching God's word. Very thankful for James last week for continuing in Genesis for us as we started Genesis chapter 3. And as he said last week, and as we'll say again as we continue in Genesis chapter 3, firmly believe that Genesis 3 is one of the most important chapters in Scripture. Especially when it comes to understanding the world around us, when it comes to understanding our own selves and our sin nature, understanding the consequences of sin, Genesis chapter 3 is essential. And so I appreciate James starting that last week. But this morning, and I was really looking forward to continuing in Genesis chapter 3, looking at the consequences of sin and all the implications and walking through that. But just this week, there's been a little, even really more specifically this weekend, just a change. Now, we're not going to make it to Genesis 3 this morning. We shall return next week. If you're a guest with us this morning, we are starting this very slow journey through Genesis. It'll take us several years to faithfully walk through it, but from time to time, we'll take a little break. But I don't believe we've ever kind of had this kind of break, you know, where we stop in the middle of something for something the Lord has just laid on my heart this weekend. Something, when I say laid on my heart, it was yesterday morning. And I don't by any means want to come across sounding pious or whatever, because I struggle. Many of my many struggles with sleep. I love sleep more than anyone in this room, I assure you. So it's very difficult for me to get up. But it was one of those nights. I got up about 4:30 or 5 o'clock, and I couldn't go back to sleep. I knew how to be up early, so I stayed up. I got in the Word, and God just broke me. Bear with me this morning a little bit, but God just broke me. Went through Matthew chapter 6, and specifically in verse 33, and so just had a very clear word for me yesterday morning, and I believe it's also a word for us. And so I believed and still believe that it is a word that the Lord would have us to hear this morning, and it's found in Matthew chapter 6 specifically in verse 33. So if you want to turn to Matthew 6, and just hold on there just for a moment. But it was in that moment, it was in the stillness of the morning, it was in those early hours that I believe God's word just in a way that he hasn't in a long time just pierced my soul. And honestly, the word is nothing new. It was nothing novel. It was a very familiar word, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But yesterday morning, that very familiar word was resoundingly fresh and very much needed for me. And so this morning, part of this is really a kind of a confession. Part of this is a confession on my part as your pastor, as one of your elders here. And there are some struggles that I have been working through and been dealing with. And so some of this will flow out of my own personal life, but I also want to see how God's word applies to all of us this morning. But in a spirit of confession, as most of you know, or many of you know, some of you forget with us, you don't know, this past year we made a very specific change in our structure here at North Hills. I kind of went from a full-time status to a bivocational status, or as Tom Rainer, who is the president of Lifeway, says, considers it a marketplace pastor. I become a marketplace pastor, which is just really someone who has kind of a feet in both worlds, one foot in the vocational church world and one foot in the professional world, in the marketplace. And so that's what we started this year. And Justin and I started a construction company, and I've been I got my contractor's license and been working, and the plan was to kind of just do some just build a few houses a year, do something kind of slow, and then if you remember, I think we all do, back in the beginning of March, the flood happened, and so just thousands of people became displaced, lots of work was needed, and so we began fixing these flood homes, and it has been an overwhelming these past couple of months. But it's not all been bad. As this marketplace pastor, God has given me lots of opportunities. We've helped a lot of folks, or in the process of helping a lot of folks get back in their homes, return their life to normal. God has given me more opportunities these past 10 weeks to share the gospel than I've had in a long time. People who are broken. If you want to know where a lot of lost people are, they're in the construction world, okay? And so had a lot of opportunities to share Christ with people who need Christ, who are hopeless, who are looking for hope. So I've had that opportunity to share very specifically the good news of Jesus Christ. I've been able to speak the truth in love to many people, to be able not just to share God's grace, but also share the truth of Scripture and the truth of the character of God. I've been able to provide, in a very practical sense, work for a lot of folks and jobs for a lot of folks. I've been able to hopefully help provide for my family and be less of a burden to North Hills, which is part of the desire for this marketplace transition. So there's been a lot of good things happening in these past couple months of 10 weeks or so, or even since the beginning of the year. So all this good stuff, what's the problem? Well, the problem specifically has been with me. The problem, especially these past 10 weeks, there's been something that has been misplaced, has been not where it needs to be in my own life. And so yesterday morning, as I turned to Matthew 6:33, and honestly, I was there, I wanted to read my Bible, and just kind of, I went to I don't every day go to Oswald Chambers, most for his highest, but I pulled up Oswald Chambers, which you may be familiar with. If you're not familiar with Oswald Chambers, it's a phenomenal devotional, one that I would recommend to you. You'll have to excuse me just for a second. Apparently our internet's not been working all morning, and it decides to start working when I start preaching. Shut that thing up. So I turned to Oswald Chambers, and I didn't even get to Oswald Chambers yet. Didn't even get to the reference of what he was going to. The first thing I read was, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." And so in that moment, in just that one, in that one phrase, in that one part of the passage, not even the entire verse, much less the entire passage, didn't even get to the devotional, but seek first the kingdom of God. God just pierced my soul in that moment. God broke me in that moment to help me to realize, to help me to know, to help me to see clearly that I had not been seeking first the kingdom of God as I should be. And so, this morning, kind of twofold reason that we come to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. One is, as I said, kind of a confession to recognize and to repent of me not being where I need to be, not as your pastor specifically, but as a man of God, as one who's striving to love Jesus and follow Jesus and to run after Christ. I was not where I needed to be, and to recognize that and to repent of that, which I have done, but also to realize that I imagine that I am not alone. I imagine that many in this room, that if we were to be honest with ourselves, and if we were to take a true spiritual inventory of where we are, we may not be seeking first the kingdom of God. And not a week that goes by, and I mean this generally, not a week goes by in the past 5 years that I did not get asked multiple times throughout the week. This week, I have at least two, maybe three different people saying, "Hey, how's North Hills? You know, we're still the new church, right?" And we're still a new church plant, and so I get asked all the time, especially as I see beloved family at Cedar Crest, "Hey, how's North Hills going?" And of course, the answer is always what? Fine, right? Good. Hey, things are good. Things are going well. Usually my pat sarcastic answer, good. They hadn't fired me yet, and at least got one more week. So that's usually my sarcastic answer. But we're doing good, and that's what I always say. And I truly, for the most part, believe that. So my question is, how is North Hills doing? Not the building, not organizationally, not in a larger sense, but the church. How is the bride of Christ, who identifies themselves as North Hills Church, how are we doing? How are we individually doing? How are we following Christ? How are we doing spiritually? And so this is why I want us to turn to Matthew 6, 25 through 33 this morning. We'll get to the whole passage in just a moment, but specifically in verse 33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you." So what does this mean? What is this, this seeking the kingdom of God? And, and we'll get to those the first verses here shortly. But he gives us all of these struggles of life. And he says, but this is what you're to do. Don't get bogged down with all this other stuff, as Destin read for us a while ago. But seek first the kingdom of God. So Jesus tells us to seek the kingdom of God. So what does that mean? To be honest, it sounds kind of Wizard of Oz-ish, right? To seek the kingdom of God, to kind of go on a journey. We're going to find the kingdom and find some castle and find some wizard. I mean, you know, we're in church. We know that's silly, right? We know that's stupid. If you're to say to go seek the kingdom, it sounds like some movie you'd watch, right? But it's not what it means. It's not a physical kingdom that we are seeking right now. It's not a physical kingdom that we're searching for. And in fact, it's really not anything that we're trying to find, this kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, defined more specifically, is the reign and rule of God in the hearts of his people. I'll say that again. If you were with us a couple of years ago, as we walked through Luke's gospel, we dealt a good bit with the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is the reign and rule of God in the hearts of his people. Now, there will come a day where it is a physical kingdom and sin will be destroyed, and we're working through sin in Genesis chapter 3, and sin enters into the world, and there will be a day, and sin is reigning in this earth right now, and it's reigning in humanity, but there will be a day where Jesus puts it to death, and Jesus shows up, and Jesus says it's over, but that day has not come yet. So we're still living in a world that is corrupted by sin. And so this is not the full physical kingdom of God, but there will come a day where God's kingdom reigns. And we, as his people, those who turn to Jesus now and trust Christ now and submit to him as Lord and Savior now, will be a part of that eternal kingdom. Whenever Christ came, as we say in preacher talk, the kingdom of God was inaugurated. The kingdom of God began. As Christ came, the kingdom of God began to be established in the hearts of his people. So it began with the coming of Jesus. But it is to be understood, the kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God in the hearts of his people. So this is the kingdom of God that we are to seek, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God. So we are not just to understand the kingdom of God, not just to be able to identify the kingdom of God. We're not supposed to just be able to know it and be able to talk about it, but seek it. Seek the kingdom of God. And we said a while ago, we're not searching for anything. This physical kingdom doesn't exist that we need to pull up on our GPS and kind of try to go out and find. So what does it mean to seek the kingdom of God? It is to seek the kingdom of God means that we have a desire and to submit to the will of God, to trust God, to follow Christ, to know and to live for Christ. That is to seek the kingdom of God. To desire to be one of the citizens of the kingdom of God. Desire for the Lord to have his reign and his rule in our hearts. This is to seek the kingdom of God. To desire and to submit to his will. To trust him. To follow Christ. To know and to live as Christ. And to be honest, this is nothing novel. It's nothing new. This is nothing, oh my goodness, I've never heard of this. Why have I never heard this in my life? You know, we understand from the most part, especially for those that I know in here, at North Hills Church and our family, we understand what it means. We understand what the kingdom of God. We've heard this. We walk through this. We have a desire, I believe, to seek the kingdom of God. We have a desire to follow Christ and to be kingdom citizens. So it's not that we don't understand the issue of the kingdom of God, nor is it a struggle in seeking the kingdom of God, but my problem here in these past few weeks has been seeking, as it says, first the kingdom of God. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. To seek first his kingdom. And if we're to be honest, life happens, doesn't it? Life happens, we get busy, things happen, things fall apart, things don't work out like we hoped and like we planned. And before we know it, we're no longer looking for the kingdom of God. We're living in our own kingdoms. Living in our own worlds, our own desires, our own commands, our own will. When we get busy, we still love God, right? We still love the Lord. We still would say we desire to follow Christ, to live for Christ. But honestly, we still identify with Christ. We still read our Bible. We still, you know, engage in the things of the Lord. But at some point, we begin not seeking first the kingdom of God. We begin seeking something else first and foremost in our life. So what does it mean to seek the kingdom first? You know, as I was growing up in church, you know, I mentioned when I go to Clyde Sanchez, he was the pastor at New Chapel Hill when I was growing up. That's the church I surrendered to ministry in at 15 years old. That's the church I grew up in youth ministry, you know, and I was that, you know, that Christian kid, and you know, all the Christian t-shirts, you know, if I could remember some of them, that'd be great. What was it? Tommy Hellfighter. Remember those things? They were just great t-shirts, right? And go on and on, just the wonderful 90s of Christian apparel. But I remember in those years, the one thing that was popular, especially for us church kids and youth group, it was like that list, right? You know, we listed the things that are priority in our life. You know, it was God first, and then family, and then friends, and somewhere else down the road, school. I don't know how far that ranked, but it was like this list, right? It was like a checklist, and that's not what it means to seek the kingdom of God first. It's not a checklist. Okay, that if I seek the kingdom of God first, I can check it off, and I can go about my life. That is not what it means to seek the kingdom of God first. It's not a list. It's not a checklist. But to seek the kingdom of God first means to seek the kingdom of God in a primary and an overarching sense. That the kingdom of God is at the center of who we are. That the rule and the reign of God affects every single thing about us. It's not just a checklist. Okay, I'm going to read my Bible. Done. Man, I've been reading my Bible every day now for 25 years. I am like this awesome Christian. I got this checklist, and you know, I'm a kingdom citizen. That's not what it means. But to seek the kingdom of God first is for the kingdom of God to take primary residence in our life and have this overarching definition in our life. Before anything else, the kingdom of God. In and through everything else, the kingdom of God. That our whole life is seen through the lens of the kingdom of God. How we work, how we play, how we do family, how our relationships, everything is defined and interpreted through the kingdom of God, through the rule and reign of God in our hearts. As followers of Christ, we should be consumed with the kingdom of God and the rule of Christ in our hearts. Everything. Now just think about that. As Paul says, taking every thought captive. Take every moment captive in your life. Think about this past week, past 10 weeks, this past this year so far, maybe this season of your life, however long that's been. Is Christ, is he reigning over everything, or is he a part of your life, or is he your life? Is your life being defined by the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of Christ in our hearts? We should be diligently seeking how we can place Christ on the throne of our hearts and lives. Now, I know that is just a way of saying it. Christ, if we have submitted to Christ and he's given us a new heart and a new life, he is on the throne of our heart. But we say, do we place him on the throne? Do we put everything else aside and say, Christ, you are preeminent in my life. That I am submitting to you in everything is Christ sitting on the throne of our hearts. Are we submitting everything to him? We should be diligently seeking Christ in everything. But again, life happens, doesn't it? Things come in and begin to choke out the kingdom of God. Things come in and shift our focus. I would submit to you this morning three areas that seem to shift our heart and focus from the kingdom of God. And there are more than three, a lot more than three, but just three specific things this morning that I believe shift our focus from the kingdom of God. The first of which I've talked about already a good bit, is our profession. Is our profession, our careers, our work. For many in this room, you spend as much or more of your time at work than you do anywhere else in your life. And just think about that. Don't think too hard, maybe depressing, right? Man, I do spend more of my time than I do sleep, than I do in my family, than I do wherever else. Some of us, we spend so much time, and your work may be in an office, and maybe on a job site somewhere, maybe in your home, maybe all kind of places. But we spend so much of our life at work. We spend our time at work. We think about work. We enjoy work, hopefully, right? Work has a big part of our life. But are we seeing work through the kingdom of God? Is our work a part of our seeking the kingdom of God? Or is it the part of our life that's not a part of the kingdom of God? We have the Jesus and the family, all this other stuff, then we have work. Are we seeking the kingdom of God through how we work? Are we trying to glorify God through our work? Are we inviting Christ into our work? Think about the workplaces that would be changed if Christ were every day were invited to be a part of our workplace, to be a part of our workflow, to reign in our hearts when we're at work. Do we submit our work to the will of God, or is it just work? And so think about your work. Is your work, is it a part of the kingdom of God? Are you submitting to, in your work, and in whatever that work that looks like, are we submitting it to the will and to the rule and to the reign of Christ in our hearts and lives? God can use work in a mighty way. God has used work in a mighty way. That is why I'm doing what I'm doing this year, so that I can take the gospel to a different workplace. But if we're not intentional, our profession will pull us away from seeking the kingdom of God. If we are not intentional, because it does not just happen. You will not wake up in the morning, take your shower, eat your breakfast, eat your oatmeal cream pie, or whatever it is you do to, you know, because you're already late, right? You're already rushing, and now summer's here, luckily, so don't worry about kids, right? They ain't take care of themselves, or we're rushing to do whatever we got to do to get out the door and go to work. If we're not intentional, we will never take Christ into our workplace. We will never submit our work, our profession, unto the Lord. And it'll be something that consumes us instead of something that can glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10, a verse that we go to quite often. Whether you eat or drink or whatever it is that you do, do it for the glory of God. That everything about us, everything in our home, in our workplace, in our life, everything should be done to the glory of God. And so how can we turn our profession to the glory of God? How can we submit to the rule of Christ in our hearts and lives through work? So if we're not intentional, our profession will pull us away from seeking the kingdom of God. Secondly, not just do professions pull us away from the kingdom of God, but secondly, people. People can shift our focus from the kingdom of God. And this is not like a bad influence kind of way, like, okay, if you got the wrong people in your life, you got these spiritually toxic people, a term we like to use nowadays, you know, they can pull you down. I mean, that's the case, and that is truth. And some of you may struggle with it. You may have people in your life that are spiritually pulling you down. But as we grow in Christ, as we mature in Christ, I hope that it's not a struggle that we still carry with us. Because those relationships that are toxic, those relationships that are not honoring to Christ, hopefully we are turning those relationships into gospel-centered relationships, and the people who need Jesus, I hope we're taking Jesus to them. So I don't think that's particularly the kind of relationship that turns us away from the kingdom of God. But it's more of the people whom we place our joy and our love. The people that we place our relationship, that we place our value in. The people that we submit to, the people that we honor in our life. Primarily and specifically, it's our family, right? It's our spouses. It's our children. It's our parents. Maybe it's if you're single here, maybe it's a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or the thought of a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Maybe it's some other relationship in your life. Because there is little, if anything, that can shift our heart from God more than our loved ones. As we give our heart and our love to other people, it is so easy to give all of our heart and our love to those people. Now again, this is not a checklist, right? It's not like, okay, I'm going to love God, and then I'm going to take some more of my heart and love somebody else. I'm going to take some more and love somebody else, and then I'm going to go to work. That's not it. But are we seeking the kingdom of God even through our relationships? Are we desiring to love people through the kingdom of God, through the rule and reign of Christ in our lives? Relationships can definitely shift our heart and focus from God. If it is them that we aim to please, if it is their approval that we seek, then it's not the kingdom of God that we are seeking, it is the approval of someone else that we are seeking. And indeed, children are a blessing from the Lord. A good wife is a blessing from the Lord. A good husband is a blessing from the Lord. These relationships are good things from the Lord. And so the question is, are we honoring God? Are we seeking the kingdom of God through these relationships? Do you strive to honor Christ through your marriage? Do you strive to honor Christ through your parenting? Or these relationships, are they defining and bringing meaning to your life? If our life is defined, if meaning is brought, if satisfaction is brought through anyone other than Jesus, then we are not seeking the kingdom of God. We sang a while ago, give me Jesus. But in reality, some would like to say, give me so-and-so. Give me my child, give me my wife, give me my husband, give me whatever. But if we are seeking the kingdom of God, then our prayer, our heart, our cry is to give us Jesus. The call of Christ to seek first the kingdom of God, it can be muffled by our attention to our profession and by our affection for people if we are not careful. People and our professions definitely can shift our focus from the kingdom of God. And lastly, how we worry about provision takes our focus off the kingdom of God. This is what our passage is primarily about this morning. Turn back to it, Matthew 6. As we worry about all these things, it says, called to not be anxious. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is it not more life? Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Something I was talking to someone this week in our church about the value of God's people. And this is essential for us to understand our relationship to the Lord is how He values us. He values us so much that Christ came and lived a perfect life and died a horrendous death and paid the penalty, the full penalty of our sin on the cross. So do you think He values us more than a bird of the air? Are you not more valued than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, the world, seeks after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And so just this beautiful passage that I believe so many of us need is that are we not consumed with worry? Are we not consumed with doubt? Are we not consumed with fear? Are we not consumed with all of these things that we wonder about life? We worry about life. We worry about how we are going to provide. We worry about the provisions in our life. What we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear, what we're going to do, how we're going to make money, you know, how our bank account's going to get full. We worry about all these things. And Jesus says here, why? Why do you worry? God, your Father, who loves you, who values you, will take care of you. Will provide for you. There's a couple ways of interpreting verse 33 when he comes back and it says, and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You know, what is he specifically saying here? Is he saying that if you will just trust the Lord, then everything's going to work out, that you're going to get all the clothes you need, and all the food you need, all the drink you need, you're going to get everything you need? Well, more than likely, that's not exactly what it has in mind, because here's the reality, and we don't like to think about this as American Christians, but there are Christians across this world and throughout the past 2,000 years who have died of hunger, who have died without clothes. Does that mean God left them or forsook them? No, that's not what that means. But probably better interpreted that God will provide these things in eternity as we trust the Lord, that regardless of what happens in this life, God is going to take care of us. But, as he so often does, he provides even for our needs today. And if he doesn't provide a need, it's not a need. We trust the Lord. But for us, the application here, because honestly, I don't think we struggle anymore in this room where our clothes are going to come from, do we? I don't think any of us struggle where our next meal is going to come. Someone may in here, that may be the case. And if it is the case in here, we'd love to help you as a church if you have physical and practical needs. But I imagine we don't struggle with where our food is going to come from, where our clothes are going to come from. So a better application for us is do not worry about the affairs of this world. He says the Gentiles worry about this, and the Gentiles seek after all of these things. So fill in the blank. What does the world seek after? What do they worry about? What are they concerned with? What provisions consume them? Because once we start worrying about those same things, our focus is no longer on the kingdom of God. We're not seeking the kingdom of God. We're not seeking the reign and rule of Christ in our life. We're seeking stuff. We're seeking provision. We're seeking security. We're seeking hope in something and someone else other than Christ. And so for us, the application is not to worry about the affairs of this world, but to trust the Lord that He will care for you. The encouragement is to remember that we are a citizen of the kingdom of God. And secondly, a citizen of this world. Whenever we worry about the things of this world, whenever we take in the concerns of this world, and we worry about the provisions of our life, then we stop seeking the kingdom of God. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Pray for the daily bread of God. So worrying about provisions, they can keep us from seeking first the kingdom of God. Our affections for people can and do keep us from seeking first the kingdom of God. And our professions, our careers, our work surely keep us from seeking first the kingdom of God. I believe we all need to be reminded. If no one else in this room needs to be reminded, it's I who needs to be reminded that as we follow Christ, that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His will, His rule, His reign in our heart, and then all these things be added unto you. And honestly, yesterday morning as I was in this word, as I was dealing with the Lord, it was the first time in quite a while that I was broken to tears. And I don't say that to sound whatever, but I think many of us need to be broken. I think many of us need to come to a point that we are not seeking the kingdom of God. That we're not seeking it first. That we are seeking our own kingdoms through people, through professions, through provisions, through maybe pleasures, maybe our own plans, through so many other things. And so how are we doing? How are you doing? Thing that can be answered, and how are you seeking the kingdom of God? And we can't do this on our own, right? Can't do this in our own power. We only do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. So are we submitting each day to the power of the Holy Spirit that we might seek the kingdom of God first? And so this morning, as we pray, as we sing, I encourage us to go before the Lord and ask Him to look at our heart. For us to look at our own heart, Christ knows your heart. And if we are not seeking first the kingdom of God, would we repent and we turn to Christ and seek that kingdom first? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, again for a chance as your gathered people, Lord, to sit under your word. Lord, I thank you for your word in Matthew. Lord, I thank you that you have given us a kingdom that we can see. Maybe not with physical eyes, Lord, but with the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our spirit, Lord, that we can see your rule and reign in this world. Lord, I pray for a deep desire in each of your people this morning to seek first your kingdom. Lord, whatever that looks like in our lives, whatever changes that need to be made, however we need to deny ourselves that we might follow you and take up our cross, would you press that upon our hearts this morning? Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you that nothing we've done, no matter how bad we've messed up, Lord, is more than your grace can forgive. Thank you, Lord, for how you love us. Thank you for how you provide, for how you lead us and care for us. In these next few moments, may we turn to you, maybe in a fresh way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.